This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Women make up about 30% of all state legislators. That number has been rising over the last few years, and the 2020 election brought in record numbers for the representation of women. But how does Indiana fit in? What's it like to be a woman running for office in the state? Are things getting better? Well, we'll find out the answers, hopefully, to these questions and more. And if you have questions or comments for our show today, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You could also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. With us now, we have four guests. Rima Shahid is Executive Director of Women for Change Indiana. Carrie Hamilton is the Indiana State Representative for District 87. Danielle Carey Tolen is a Westfield Washington Township Trustee. And Karen Freeman Wilson, former mayor of Gary, Indiana, and president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Welcome, all of you. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having us.
I do want to get into more specific questions, but first, I'd love to go around and ask each of you your story of how you got involved in politics. And Rima, let's start with you.
Thank you again for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I really got involved as a child from my parents kind of taking us to different community events and different things and really showing us that if you want to make a difference, you have to be involved. And that's sort of my story.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Carrie?
Well, Miriam, so glad to be here today. Thank you. And thanks for asking. So I grew up caring about issues, but not being involved in politics. Jump ahead to after working in public policy for several years, I was complaining around a group of friends about my city councilor at the time, who will remain unnamed. This is many years ago. And a person in that group suggested I run for office, and I never thought about it. But that started a journey that led me where I am today.
And Karen, how about you?
I got involved because as a high school student, I was good friends with Senator or former state Senator Earlene Rogers' son. And she told us that we could have a party if we ensured that all of our friends were registered. And so she was running for city council at the time. We invited all of our friends. Everybody got registered that was of age. Most of us were seniors. And the rest is history, because I caught the bug that night, and that was over 40 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. And Danielle, how about you? What's your story?
Thanks for having us on this. This is a great topic to talk about. I got involved because my dad and my grandfather were heavily involved here locally in Westfield. I didn't think I was going to stay around Westfield at all. Did a leadership academy for Agra Institute. And at that moment in time, I knew it was my time to give back to our community. So that's kind of my story.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like all of you have had some sort of mentor or an adult or an influence, somebody that got you excited about politics. Danielle, I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, definitely. You know, watching my dad be involved in the community, we're a lot alike. We want to socialize. We want to collaborate and just make a change. And I saw him do that in the, you know, 70s and 80s and 90s. And it was inspiring. And then my, you know, my granny was down at the state house as a clerk for a state rep, and watched her, you know, walk the trenches down there at the state house. I mean, just having those people in your lives helps you realize that you can't make change unless you're in it, right? So.
Mm-hmm. And Karen, how about you? You mentioned somebody had got this party going and inspired you guys to get out there and register and all that. So what was that like for you?
Absolutely. Not only did we have the unique opportunity to be inspired by State Senator Rogers, but also we had the unique opportunity to have as a role model one of the first Black mayors in the country, and that was Richard Gordon Hatcher. So as a seven-year-old, I saw him running, I heard him at a house party in my parents' home, and he talked about the things he wanted to do for the city of Gary. And even at seven, I said, that sounds like a really great idea. I think I'd like to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it speaks to just the power of seeing someone doing something that, that you realize you can do it too.
That's absolutely the case.
Mm-hmm. And Rima, you mentioned that part of your influence was your parents. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So my parents really instilled in us the importance of giving back to the community, the importance of being involved, but also kind of what Representative Hamilton was talking about. If you see something that's wrong, instead of sitting on the sidelines, you have to, you know, roll up your sleeves and dive in and to make a difference. I also think that, you know, some of the things that were said around representation and other folks helping people, what we hear time and time again is show up and get involved. But for some people, they don't know how to do that and where to start. And so it's so important for people that are involved is to bring someone along with you in this journey. Sometimes it's just about that entry point into advocacy and politics. And as my friend talked about with the house party, it's once you get that first time in there, you get that bug and it's in there for you for four decades at least.
Right. Maybe I should have gone into politics. It sounds like a longer career span than journalism. Maybe I have an expiration date in journalism. I don't know. Carrie, was there anything that made you hesitate when you first thought about getting involved? It sounded like you didn't really think about it, and then you got involved, and now you're in it. Was there anything that kind of held you back at first?
Yeah, so I always knew I would be involved, but I always assumed it would be behind the scenes. And there is so much important work to do that's less visible than in an elected office, but in public policy, working in government agencies, on boards, et cetera. But when it was suggested I run for office and I started thinking about it, I was pretty excited pretty quickly. But the one thing that did hold me back initially was thinking about the impact on my family. At the time, I had two young boys, and I had a flexible career at that moment. I had my own consulting business, so I could, I had the privilege of being able to step back from that to the extent I needed if I was going to run for office. But it was still a big question. Was it the right thing for my family at that time? And it has worked out for my family, but again, in, as my career has evolved both in and out of public life, that question has come up time and time again. And I think timing is everything in politics. And sometimes being out front makes sense if that's your calling. Other times it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And Rima, as a woman, were you worried at all that getting involved in this would be difficult?
So I'm in a different position as I'm in the advocacy space. But this is something that women do have to faces constant scrutiny, and we're constantly under public eye. People talk about, look at her hair, look at her nails and the color. When women look tired, there's conversations about, she looks tired, what's wrong with her? When men roll up their sleeves, the conversation is, he's such a hard worker. And culturally, we have to work to combat that. When men roll up their sleeves and they unbutton that first button on their shirts, we think of them as hard workers, and we think of them as tireless. And when women, when we look tired, it's, you should have maybe worn a little more concealer. The right. double standard and the misogyny is real.
Yes.
And that's something that we have to think about internally and constantly combat, because these are conversations that we have in our own heads, but we have to be mindful, because when we're bringing along that next generation of leaders, when we're inviting you to those house parties or to the Ready to Run event, we have to make sure that this is not something that we're passing on to future generations.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Karen, in your four decades in politics, what were some of the things that you faced?
Certainly misogyny exists. It is real even today. But also, sometimes women can be the greatest doubters. I mean, certainly I had tremendous women who were mentors, who supported the cause. But if there is one negative story or one negative occurrence, then they, or sometimes it doesn't even have to be that. You know, I remember when Hillary Clinton ran, and I thought that all women would be excited. And I heard many women say, certainly too many for my taste, can a woman really be president. And that's not just whether they're Democrats or Republicans. It was women across the spectrum voted that view.
Right. And I wonder if some of that is just the embedded patriarchal sort of culture that we have in our society. Danielle, what about you?
You know, I always say you don't get in this if you don't have thick skin, right? as women, and just like what Remy was saying, is that we have to keep our heads high. We have to keep on going. We have to be innovative. We've got to get out of this good old boys club, as I call it, time and time again. We got to transition ourselves into a better representation of our entire community. And it's tiring, and making sure that, you know, your families are on board, your friends are on board, because it takes a village with many women to run for office. It doesn't take a, you know, an individual because for us as women, we wear multiple hats.
So. Right. Well, it sounds like it's almost like you're doing more work than men, because you have to combat stereotypes and misogyny and all this stuff and still do the job.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then you still have to do the laundry. Mm-hmm. I've done two loads already today. let's be realistic about it now.
You've done two more loads than me. I've got it piled up, so I got to get down to the laundromat. Before we take a break, Rima, I want to ask you real quick about this virtual event. Well, we can touch upon it a little bit more when we come back. What is it, and what can people take from it?
Yeah, thank you. It is on Saturday, May 22nd from 9 to 1 p.m. If anybody needs a scholarship, please email us at welcome@women4changeindiana.org. Ready to Run is a national network founded by the Center for American and Politics at Rutgers University. It is a nonpartisan training for women that are looking to either run for office, work on a campaign, or get more involved. I would highly suggest, if you're looking for that entree point into advocacy and politics, please attend the event on Saturday, May 22nd from 9 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll be back with our guests after a quick break and continue our conversation about women in politics. If you have any questions for our guests today, make sure to leave us a message on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. I'm Miriam Sobe. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Getting involved in the political process can seem daunting, and especially if you come from an underrepresented group. How can you make it if you don't see people like you in positions of power? One group that's been making strides are women, but in some states like Indiana, men still outnumber women in politics, and that's enough to turn some folks away from even attempting a career in that field. We're continuing our conversation on women in politics today with Rima Shahid, Executive Director of Women for Change Indiana, Carrie Hamilton, Indiana State Representative for District 87, Danielle Carey Tolan, Westfield Washington Township Trustee, and Karen Freeman Wilson, former mayor of Gary, Indiana, and president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Before we went to break, Rima, we touched briefly on this virtual event that your organization is holding. Can you tell us why events like this are important?
But yet, Women for Change believes that far too long, women have sat on the political sidelines, deeming themselves unqualified to run or hanging back because nobody ever encourages them to run. And that hurts all women, because research shows that women lawmakers are significantly more likely than their male colleagues to sponsor bills on things like education, healthcare, and civil rights. I also think it's important because representation, as we talked about, matters. Here in our Indiana State House, we have 50 senators, 10 are women. Of the House members, there are 100 House members, only 28 are women. We represent, Indiana women represent 51% of the state population, but we only represent about 25.3% of women. If you walk into the Indiana State General Assembly, chances are that you will not see a building full of folks that represent and look like Indiana. Mm-hmm. We're so, so thankful for Representative Hamilton for a variety of reasons, but I'm sure she would also want more friends, women, in there in the trenches with her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, touching up on that, Carrie, with women making up 26% of the legislature in Indiana, below this year's overall national figure of 30%, what effect does that disparity have on the work being done at the State House?
Well, it's an uphill battle for issues that are particularly important to women and children in our state. I would like to see representation and have half of our chamber, slightly more than half of our chamber, be filled with women who bring a whole host of issues to the State House that haven't historically been considered. A few of the issues that I've raised up in my, I've just finished my fifth session, so 5 years, child care tax credits, funding for pre-K for all children, pregnancy accommodations, and tax exemption for feminine hygiene products. These are all things that come from women legislators. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have representation, we're not going to be able to get those bills, those ideas heard and advanced in our State House.
Right. So it's really important to have more women involved, is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
And Karen, from your experience, you know, as a woman in politics, what were the things that you had to do or that you faced that were different from, let's say, a man getting involved in politics?
I think that when women are involved in politics, they face a whole different set of questions on the campaign trail. For those of us who have children, people will ask outright, who's going to take care of your children? There is a word called mansplaining. and I'm sure everyone has experienced that where, people will explain to you something that you may or may not understand from their perspective. And while you understand it perfectly well, and then of course, when you say something and maybe 2 or 3 minutes after saying something in a meeting or a conversation, a man says the same thing, and all of a sudden it becomes a good idea. It's magical. Right. And so, you know, those are things that you, I think it's important to recognize, but not internalize. Because if you internalize it, I think it will make us less effective. I think it's important, however, to recognize it and call it out.
Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate everything you're saying because I think it applies to women in every field, right? You know, just
absolutely
battling against some of these, entrenched ideas from the past. Danielle, what are your experiences? You know, did you have to also battle things just because you're a woman?
Yeah, here in Westfield, it's, you know, it's a lot different because when I ran for office, it's a lot more concentrated than a mayor or a state representative. But still, it's still the same struggles. You have to find your circle of trust, which is really hard, I think, because the people that you think are trusted aren't, and they will criticize you behind the scenes or in now social media, right? And those are hard. And if you don't have that circle of trust and knowing who those people are and having the support, like I said before, especially around your friends and family, you're not going to get through a race that to win at the end, and making sure, because again, our whole goal is to get more women elected at the end.
Right. And Danielle, I mean, what are some of the solutions that you have for, you know, if somebody is interested in running and they're hearing now that there's a lot of obstacles, like what is something that could entice them?
I think women, and we've all heard it, right? We're all big picture thinkers and we're collaborators. We can collaborate so much better than our male counterparts. Because we do want to reach across the aisles. We do want to hear other people's opinions. And we just need to know that we're behind each other. It doesn't matter what aisle you sit on. We need that support from other women. And we don't need to sit there and say, oh, you know, like, I don't know, I think Carrie said earlier, you know, we have bags under our eyes. I have gray hairs because I haven't had time to go color my hair or, you know, things like that. Those aren't important for running mm-hmm. for office. the important things are, can we get the job done, which we know we can, and knowing that you have a support team behind you.
Right. And Carrie, when you hear from women who maybe reach out to you wanting to get involved, what do you often hear from them?
Oh, gosh, I think the number one thing is, how the heck do I get involved? I don't, you know, women don't know how to get into the system, how to where and how to start those relationships. And I'm thrilled that Women for Change is hosting this program. There was not a program like that available when I first ran for office the first time back in 2007. So I kind of just jumped into the deep end. But it's about, you know, when you run for office, you run within a political party. So you need to get to know the folks in the party. You need to understand that you're stepping in to be part of a team. It's not just about the elected official. The elected official is only as good as the people around them that are helping to inform them and support them. And so really getting into the system and making relationships is how you can jump in and start to learn and then figure out where your voice is most useful and effective and where you might want to run for office. And again, timing is everything. So I say, you know, get involved and learn, take the Women for Change program, do other trainings. And then the opportunities will find you. You will find them.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say, though? I mean, sometimes when I've thought of people who are running for politics for different roles, I'm thinking, like, they have to have a lot of money. And, like, what if you don't have rich friends? Like, how can you get involved?
That's a great question. So when I first got involved, I had never raised money for any campaign before. But I realized I had, because of my work and my community involvement, there were different circles of influence that were glad for me to run for office and wanted to support me. So for example, I had worked in the environmental field, and the environmental community hosts a fundraiser for me every year. Other issues I worked on at the more community level, people said, hey, I'd love to host an event for you in my home. And these are things I never would have guessed before I first, you know, got in. And that's what kind of lifts you up and helps keep you going when it gets hard, because campaigns are very challenging, long hours. I think it was Danielle who said earlier, you have to have thick skin. That is key. You develop it very quickly if you don't already have it. And you have to be okay with that. You will find those, the folks that support you, and that'll keep you going and help you raise those critical funds to build mm-hmm. your campaign.
Yeah. And Rima, with your organization, what are some of the tools that you're able to give women who are thinking about running?
Yeah, I think that time and time again, something that I hear when I'm out and about is, you should run. Think about running for school board. But for someone that's not really involved, it's like, what does that entail? How much money do I have to raise? What are my responsibilities? Also, what is the purpose behind running for office? And so these are some of the things that we are going to be talking about, is campaign finance, also campaign communications. I can't tell you the number of times I've been on a candidate's website and there are spelling errors. What you need those close people, as Representative Hamilton was saying, you need those close people around you to help support you. Also public relations. We've talked and touched upon women candidates and the scrutiny that they have to go to. But we also want to talk about how local elections are so important and how all politics is really local. We, time and time again, we really focus on what's happening nationally, but really what affects a person is what the decisions that are decided at that local level. As far as the municipal seats here in Indiana, only 20.9% of all of the municipal seats are held by women. And we rank 48 out of all of the states as far as women's involvement in those local seats. And I think that's really, really important. We just went through an election amidst a pandemic. And while we are kind of getting through the pandemic right now, the fact is that we really could have used women poll workers, We could have used women working those polls and helping us uplift the most fundamental part of our democracy, which is voting. And so we're going to be talking about those conversations, talking about those points, and why it's so important for every single person to think about running or getting involved. And I think a first step might be getting to ready to run on Saturday, May 22nd.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like women can be involved in so many different areas. It doesn't have to just be running for a specific office, but just supporting in different avenues. Karen, you've run for office throughout the years many times. Have you seen any changes since when you first were coming up in politics to now?
I think that, I've actually won as many races as I've lost. So I've run quite a few times, about 8 times over the last 40 years. And what I've seen is that women now are more inclined to run. They think about running more. There used to be a need to be drafted, to be asked, to be considered. Now women are saying, this is something that I think I'd like to do. And I would simply encourage that because it's important. In a state in 2021, I think it's a sad commentary, not just the small number of women that we have in elected office, but the fact that I am the only Black female that has ever led a city in the state of Indiana. That's a sad commentary, and that it's still a big deal all over the country when a city elects a Black woman to lead. And so we really do have to consider ourselves as worthy, as likely, as plausible candidates, because we lead in every other place, in schools, in the PTA, in community groups and community organizations, in nonprofits, in corporate places. Why not in the political arena?
Mm-hmm. Would you say that while things are not necessarily getting easier for women, but there's a path that's been paved by folks like you who have gone in and done the work, is it a little bit difficult in some aspects because of so many different things now with social media and scrutiny and all that, that maybe some people are hesitant because they just don't want all that baggage?
I think that it is certainly more difficult because women not only get scrutinized, but they are treated in a brutal way, particularly in social media. You know, you look at the memes that exist against Mayor Lightfoot and some of the other mayors across the country. They're just shameful, and it's not something that you see with men. But I think it was said earlier, and I know it to be true, I think Danielle said it, you have to have thick skin in this business. And I think that people just need to learn how to be more gracious. You know, thick skin is one thing, but people just being kind. I mean, I think parents still teach that. I certainly taught that to my daughter and teach it to my grandchildren. We just need to learn how to be more gracious towards each other.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And Danielle, with your experience in this realm, what are your thoughts on just this lack of women? What can be done to remedy this, aside from trying to encourage people?
Yeah, that's the number one thing is encourage, you know, your friends, especially if they show any type of interest, right, whatsoever. Just like Remy said, that it takes an entire village because to run a campaign, you can't do it all. I mean, I have friends all over the spectrum. We all do. And we utilize those resources so they can get involved in a campaign at any level. I mean, we've heard all of us got involved in one way or another. And once they kind of get involved and they see how we run a campaign or how to go out and work a poll, they get more interested, right? They want to become more involved. And I think just getting that part of it and just bringing our friends along and say, come on, let's go, right? And we have fun while we do it. We all like to have fun. So let's make it a little bit of fun while we're having some stress.
Mm-hmm. And have you come across anyone who was super excited and wants to run, but they're just not going to because it's like, no, when I really think about it, it's overwhelming.
It's not even overwhelming. I think we've all talked about it. It's brutal out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, social media has made it brutal for us. The attacks, the negativity, the untruths, everything. And we have to be better than that as women. We can't, even though women are doing it too to us, I mean, we can't scoop, you know, get down to their level. We have to rise above that and be better than that. And that's the hard thing. I think a lot of women just don't want to be attacked. We don't like it. It's hurtful.
Right, right. I mean, nobody wants to be attacked.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for women who are thinking about politics to understand, though, right now, especially, I mean, obviously things are incredibly divided and there's a lot of vitriol out there, but it's not so much about the individual candidate or elected official as the climate of the world at the moment. So you get back to thick skin and not taking things personally, staying above, you know, above the fray. If I get a snarky comment on social media somewhere, I'll either, if it's really bad, I'll respectfully decline to respond to it. Or if it's about an issue and it's still snarky, I'll respond in a non-snarky way and it's in a serious way about the actual issue. You know, we can choose how we respond, and that's what we have control over.
All right. Well, we'll be back on discussing women in politics after this break. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Soh. We're continuing our discussion on women in politics with Rima Shahid, Executive Director of Women for Change Indiana, Carrie Hamilton, Indiana State Representative for District 87, and Danielle Carey Tolan, Westfield Washington Township Trustee, as well as Karen Freeman Wilson, former mayor of Gary, Indiana, and president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Before the break, we talked more broadly about the experiences you've all had as women entering and continuing to work in the political arena. I'd like to move now toward what it is that you've been able to accomplish. I think a lot of the time we tend to talk about the challenges women face, but we forget to look at all the work that women have been able to get done in their respective fields, despite all these obstacles, as well as efforts women have made to make sure that those who come after them have a much easier path to go down. I'd like to start with you, Carrie. Are there any specific issues or bills that you've worked on that are especially impactful to women in Indiana?
Yeah, thank you. So I think the one issue that I've found, so I'm a member of the super minority party in the State House, which makes it challenging to advance issues. But there was an issue that I cared deeply about that I realized there was, it was bipartisan and there was a lack of leadership on, and that is building out our infrastructure of trails and pedestrian and bike connectivity throughout our communities in our state. And I think women understand, I think all people understand, but women certainly do, that this infrastructure is important for public health, for community and economic development of life in our neighborhoods. And so a year ago, I led the formation of the Indiana Legislative Trails Caucus. And then during these last couple of months, as we were looking at an unprecedented amount of support from the federal government to rebound as quickly as we can from the pandemic and the economic challenges that created, there was an opportunity to invest one-time dollars in trails. And so I'm thrilled that we were able to invest for the first time a legislative designation of dollars to trails of $60 million. And that certainly wasn't me alone, but I was kind of a leader of that effort, working with many people on both sides of the aisle. And so that was really rewarding work.
Mm-hmm. And Danielle, what about you? Are there any things that you've worked on in your position that you're really passionate about?
Yeah, currently the main role for township trustees is helping people in need and in crisis. And obviously we've had a huge crisis on our hands here in the last year. And currently I am facilitating the emergency rental assistance program here in Hamilton County on top of my other responsibilities, which is a $10 million grant here in our community. So, and that's for people to help with rent and utility assistance. So really looking at housing stability in Hamilton County, because most people think that people that live here in Hamilton County are well off, and they're not. So kind of getting past that stigma here in Hamilton County is a big push.
Mm-hmm. And Karen, what about you throughout your career? What are some of the accomplishments that stand out to you?
So I would say as city court judge, we started the drug court movement here in the state of Indiana. And now not only are there drug courts all over the country, but Indiana is known for its strong group of drug courts that allow people to not only address charges in the court system, but to address their addiction to alcohol or other drugs. As mayor, we completed an airport runway project that involved the removal of three Class 1 rail lines, and that had been going on for 10 years before we got involved, before we were in office. And we did that under time, under the new designated time by the FAA and under budget. So that was a major accomplishment. And then this week, Indiana will have its first land-based casino, the Hard Rock Casino, and it's opening in Gary. And so to be able to get the Indiana General Assembly, which is very red, which is different from Gary, which tends to be blue, but to get them to see the value proposition in moving a casino from an industrial area to a populated area that would give rise to development around it, and then to attract a national name, was a pretty big deal. And then to leave that area available for an intermodal development, I think was a double plus for the city of Gary.
Mm-hmm. I do want to ask, you know, I appreciate all of you sharing all of these accomplishments. I do want to ask, do you ever feel as women that you get pigeonholed to only work on women's issues? Obviously, you talked about different issues all over the board, but do you ever feel like you have to do women's issues because you're a woman?
This is Reemann. Although I've not had the privilege and the honor of sponsoring bills or being able to vote on key pieces of legislation, I think when people talk about women's issues, we have to kind of take a step back and think about women's issues are voting, and women's issues are infrastructure, and women's issues are building out our community. And I think that we have to kind of step away from the idea that there are only certain things that women care about, but mm-hmm. rather women, what we know is that women work collaboratively, as we talked about. Women also work when not only on behalf of herself, but for her family and for her community. And there's also data that women are just better at governing. Sorry, gentlemen. We're better at collaboration. We're more effective at getting laws passed. And despite making up a small fraction, we women in office have had more bills enacted on average than their male counterparts. And they also bring back more federal funds back to their districts. So all issues are women's issues. And women are just better at the job. I also wanted to share that in 2020, we commemorated the 19th Amendment, which gave some women the right to vote. But here in Indiana, we're yet to see a woman governor. We're yet to see federally women senators. And while we commemorated the occasion and we are thankful to our foremothers and those that have paved the way for us to get here, we have to take a look back and say, what are the next 100 years for us going to look like? Are we going to accept status quo? Are we going to make up the General Assembly as we should? And it should be high time that we can say Madam Governor here in the state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I want to second everything that Rima said, that brilliant comments. I really appreciate everything she mentioned. I'll add, you know, women's issues are family issues, they're economic issues, they're everybody's issues. So, for example, I've championed a child care tax credit for working families, targeting low-income working families, but all the way up to middle-class families. And that legislation has been supported. It hasn't passed yet, but it's been supported by the State Chamber of Commerce and several other organizations because it's good for employers when their employees' families are doing well and thriving. And if you're a family with children, you need high quality health care to thrive. I'm sorry, child care to thrive. And so that's why that issue in particular was able to garner a wide range of support. And that's really true of all issues. It just so happens that there are some issues that women tend to lift up more than men in the legislature. But I'll just also finally second that we are better collaborators. And certainly in legislative bodies, that is crucial to getting effective work done for all the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, just sort of to elaborate on the initial question that I asked, I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, it seems that there's often a burden on women. I don't know if it's a burden or not, but to be the voice of female constituents, to always fight for their causes. And I don't know that we necessarily see that on the men's front. Are they speaking up for men's rights?
Absolutely not. And I think that what happens with us as women is that we talk about the things that are generally applicable, but we also, because of a lived experience, understand the importance of addressing domestic violence, of addressing sexual, offenses, of addressing issues around child care and things that are really family issues in many respects, but have historically been placed on the shoulders of women to advocate for and to be concerned about. And so it's not that we don't deal with or address other issues, or that we don't understand the universal application of many issues, but the reality is that if we don't speak up, in many instances, no one will. But one of the things that I've appreciated particularly about President Biden's movement around infrastructure issues is that he has turned around and made many of the things that have traditionally been thought of as women's issues much more global and much more applicable or much more universal, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to politics in general, when we talk about bipartisanship, for example, what role do women play? We've mentioned that women are great collaborators. Is that something that we'll see more when we have more women in positions, more bipartisanship? Danielle, your thoughts?
You know, I think so. We've all talked about how women are bigger picture thinkers, and we want to collaborate. I mean, that we know how to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are, when we get involved, we just don't sit on our hands and not enact on what we're passionate about. I mean, when we're diving into the issues and we're passionate about it, we're going to give it our all. So I think that for us as women, we're any issue that we're passionate about, we give it, you know, we're not willing to just sit back and let men take control of it.
So, I think we are also less likely to adhere to labels or groups or parties. And so we aren't confined or defined by, you know, the fact that we might identify as a Republican or a Democrat. If there's an issue or a problem that needs to be solved, we will solve that problem with whomever wants to come to the table.
Mm-hmm. And Rima, your thoughts on that?
The majority of the bills, if not all the bills that Women for Change has advocated for, have been authored and co-authored by women on both sides of the aisle. I can't tell you the number of times prior to 2021 that we were in the building and I would see women from both sides of the aisle standing together discussing issues. As my friend Karen Freeman Wilson said, our alliances are not with a party, but our alliances are rather with our community. And that's what sets us apart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that does sound, you know, when I'm hearing that, it sounds like that's a key difference where perhaps women think of things more from a community perspective. I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but you know, I do want to take
a
little bit.
That's fair for sure. Sorry.
Oh no, that's all right. I do want to take a little bit of a turn and talk. We've talked on this program a little bit about gerrymandering, and Carrie, I'm wondering how much of an impact is that having on people's motivation to run for office, or maybe not motivation. Maybe they're not motivated seeing things being changed around, and it's like, well, why bother? I'm not even going to get elected.
Well, it is a challenge. I mean, in Indiana, we know that give or take 45% of Hoosiers are identified as Democrats, but only right now 29% of the House of Representatives is represented by Democrats. And in large part, we can blame that disparity on the way the maps are drawn. And women understand that when they look at opportunities to run, they see districts that aren't so friendly to run in, and that's an uphill battle. So, you know, I think there are a lot of people beginning to understand this issue. It's obviously, it's not a partisan issue. It's very much just an issue of good government. We shouldn't have political parties drawing maps, any political parties drawing maps. And unfortunately, that's how it is today. So I just hope we continue to educate more and more Hoosiers, women and men, about what gerrymandering means and does to our democracy so that we can have more competition in more races. That will bring more women into the races.
Mm-hmm. And Reba, do these obstacles or things that we've been talking about push people away? You know, are you hearing that at all?
I think it's unfortunate that in 2020, a third of the legislative races ran unopposed. Mm-hmm. And that is because of partisan gerrymandering. I completely agree. We need competitive districts, competitive maps. We need a level playing field that is competitive. Right now, what we have is a tilted playing field that isn't competitive or fair. After that, you run, and if you lose, you let the chips fall as they may be. But right now, we have to give it a fair shot to learn more about the redistricting process. As the census data will be available late August, please visit www.women4changeindiana.org. You can also sign up to attend the Ready to Run event, which is on Saturday, May 22nd, on our website as well.
Before we get ready to wrap up here, I'd love to go around and just hear from each of you some words of wisdom for folks who are listening, women, men, anybody who wants to run, but maybe we'll focus on women because that's what we've been talking about. So, Karen, what are your words of advice?
I would say go for it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Only that, you know, consider your friends, your family, a built-in campaign team. You know, we always think about whether or not people will support us. You have a built-in support group. Put them to work.
Mm-hmm. All right, Danielle.
Yeah, just like Karen said, you've got to put in the work. You know, if any woman asks me if they should run, I'm always going to say yes. And I will, because I've said yes, I will help them. I'm that person. I will never say no to somebody, especially if it's another woman, and knowing that the tools that they need to win are critical. So just don't be afraid to ask.
All right. And Carrie?
Yeah, I say if you're interested in running for office, say the Purple Party, find the women in the Purple Party that are serving in office now and ask them out for coffee. And they will meet with you, as Danielle said. I love to meet with women who are interested in learning about the process or are ready to jump in and share what I know.
All right. And Rima, we have like 20 seconds here. Any final words?
Your voice is important. Your voice is not being heard. Run for office. Your voice matters. What you have to say matters. And get engaged and attend the Ready to Run on May 22nd.
All right. Well, thank you, all of you, for joining us and taking the time today. Rima Shahid, Executive Director of Women for Change, Indiana. Carrie Hamilton, Indiana State Representative, District 87. Danielle Carey Tolan, Westfield, Washington Township Trustee. And Karen Freeman Wilson, former Mayor of Gary, Indiana, and President and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Our producers, Drew Dodlin, Micah Yason, Tim Brooks. Scott Cameron is our Managing Editor. Adam Gross is our Engineer. Join us tomorrow for a conversation about arts groups and venues across Indiana and how they're holding up. I'm Miriam Soeb. Thanks for listening. This is All In.